by this time, you certainly don't need me to remind you that Tuesday is Election Day. You've been hearing about it for a long time now, and probably, like many people, you are happy to look forward to having that day behind you, come what may, however it turns out. And I have been hesitant in any public way, as I always have been in every election, to say anything. For one thing, I think it is against the purposes of the Lord's church to speak out on election matters. I will just say this and leave it at that, and that is, regardless of what election it is, if we choose to vote, we should always make sure to put our principles ahead of personalities, put our principles ahead of the parties, put our principles ahead of even our own preferences. Because what matters above everything else is our being citizens not of here and this nation, but of the Lord's church and of heaven. As Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we wait for a Savior, Jesus the Christ. And everything we do, whether on election day or any other day, should revolve around that basic fact: this world is not our home. And we put first those things of a spiritual nature. Now, that should be reflected in how we live. That should be reflected in how we talk. And yes, that should be reflected in how we vote. But that's where I'll leave it for now. I've been a little perturbed the last few weeks, and especially the last few days, as I've been looking at a few things online to see the number of churches, and even churches of Christ, with overt signs out front and the messages directly from them espousing one particular candidate or one particular party, which I think is just not the way to go. In fact, I've got some very clear views in my own mind. But if you'll search my social media history, you'll find I've never had one thing to say on a public platform about any of that, because by and large I represent the church a lot more than I represent myself. And the church does not support a party, a candidate, or any part of an election. We support principles and Bible truth. That said, I take you to a passage that I think would help us a lot at this time. It's found in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, we could spend time, and we're not. We haven't the time to do that. But talking about what Paul said in Romans 13 and what Peter says about how we should be subject to the powers that be. We should subject ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, reminding ourselves that those appointed are appointed of the Lord. With a caveat, as Peter will say in Acts chapter 5, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so as long as there's no contradiction, always obey the state. If there's ever a contradiction, always obey the Lord. And it is a safe place to stay at that. But it's interesting, when Paul discusses matters like this, he more often talks about what we are just about to read together in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he says, beginning at verse number 1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What Paul says there is that our emphasis should be on God's emphasis, and that is that all men come to know the truth and thus are saved by it. But we have to live in the world we live in with the government we have, and yes, we should be subject to it with the caveat of putting God always first. But we should also pray. Especially, we ought always to pray. And now, by this time next week, if things go as all of us hope they will, we'll know something. I remember, though, very clearly, I was in the gospel meeting the night of the Bush-Gore election years ago. And I was somewhere close enough I was staying with my mom and dad in Miami and driving back and forth to wherever it was I was holding the meeting. And we stayed up that Tuesday night, later than we should. Dad went to bed because he said, I don't care anymore. About 9:30, he went to bed. And Mom and I stayed up till 10, and then to 10:30, and then to 11. And Mom said, I think it might be time. I said, let's give it 30 more minutes, 11:30. And we both said, when we see each other in the morning, we'll have an answer. Well, as you know, we didn't have an answer the next morning or the next several mornings after that. But that was a one-off, and I hope that was a one-time situation. Hopefully by this time next week, we'll have an idea of the direction we're heading. And it does matter because, after all, we have two new people who haven't just been president, one of which will be. And so we have something to think about at that point, information we don't have right now. But regardless, and this is what I'm getting to, regardless, we should pray now. We should pray during. We should especially pray after. And pray just as Paul encourages Timothy to pray. Pray for all of those in authority. I didn't vote for them. Pray for them anyway. Pray for those in authority. Well, I don't agree with what they're doing. Especially pray anyway. Always pray for those in authority. And what do you pray? Well, I want my bill to pass. No, that's not what Paul says. Pray that we as Christians might be able to continue leading quiet and peaceable lives. Be able to lead a Christian life without any kind of government interference. We can pray for that. Regardless who's in charge, who's not, what bill passes, what doesn't, what's going on in Congress or Washington or what isn't, we can always pray for that. And if you will, open your songbooks with me and turn and let's sing together. Number 777. I'll admit to you, this isn't a toe stomper, but it's not meant to be. It's a reflective song, and we sing it at a reflective time. 777. Father, hear the prayer we offer, nor for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. Not forever by still waters would we idly quiet stay, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along our way. Be our strength in hours of weakness. In our wanderings be our guide. Through endeavor, failure, danger, Father, be thou at our side. Let our path be bright or dreary, storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unwary
Make thy work our ceaseless prayer.
Keep your book open just for a second. And I want to emphasize with you the first and the last of these verses. The first goes right along with what we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Father, hear the prayer we offer, nor for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. We should live quiet and peaceable lives in the midst of a world in which we should never feel at home. We're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're sojourners. We don't belong here, but for a short time. But while here, we have to live in the world while not becoming like the world, and we want nothing more than for the world to allow us to live for Christ unimpeded from day to day. And that's exactly what the first verse is saying. But notice the last verse. Let our path be bright or dreary. Storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer. You know, Paul talks to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 about the need to preach the word in season and out of season. I think most of us would agree that if we're old enough, we've seen some in-season times. But if we've lived till now, we're seeing some out-of-season times. And we've had times bright and times dreary. We've seen our share of storm and sunshine in terms of what a life can bring to the world, to the church, and to our own lives. And it's interesting what the author of this wonderful song is saying is, we shouldn't be so swayed by what's happening that we lose sight of what we ought to be about. May our souls in hope unweary complain about our path? No. Complain about whether we have storm or sunshine? No. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer. Like I say, this isn't a toe tapper, a toe stomper, but it's a reflective song that if you think about the words and make those words a part of your thinking, it changes and shapes the way all of us should be thinking, not just about this election or any election, but about life itself. And that the larger questions aren't answered by an election cycle or a vote tally. The larger questions are answered by those of us who decide to put first things first, regardless what happens. When Paul was writing the words he did to Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Caesars were in charge, and it was an ugly time for the Roman government. It was an ugly culture in the Roman Greco world. Things were upside down, where wrong had become right and right had become wrong. And it's interesting that what Paul says all those centuries ago is just as relevant today, just as pertinent today, and just as needed today as it was then. Now, this isn't a game of Simon Says, but I never said close your book. And the reason is, if you left it open, we're going to sing the very next song, 778. 778, because I don't know about you, but what gets me... Don't you love to hear that noise? I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout, it's a mighty testament to God's power, the thunder is. But anyway, this song reminds me and steals my mind to realize that I'm not in this alone. It sometimes feels like that. And I don't know what the vote's going to show. I don't know the way the nation's going to go. I don't know how much longer we have. None of that is in my realm of understanding. God hasn't shared that with me, and I'm glad he hasn't. But I do know this, that no matter what the future holds in the future of our world or the future of our nation, the future of our culture or families, or my own personal future. I really can't get through whatever comes next, good or bad, without the Lord being by my side. And I have to say, and I have to sing with meaning the words of this song. The words were written by a man named Chisholm, and of course the music was written by our good brother L.O. Sanderson. And let's sing together now, number 778.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without Thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need Thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then if dangers threaten, if storms of trial burst above my head, if lashing seas leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make my heart afraid. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing Thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of Thy abiding presence where'er I am, to feel that Thou art near. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I must weep amid the fires of pain, and when shall come the hour of my departure for worlds unknown, O Lord, be with me then.
I had a few more things to say, but I'd rather turn to 783. And I'll let the song do the talking for me. 783.
Tarry with me, O my Savior, for the day is passing by. See the shades of evening gather, and the night is drawing nigh. Tarry with me, blessed Savior, leave me not till morning light, for I'm lonely here without Thee. Tarry with me through the night. Tarry with me, O my Savior, lay my head upon Thy breast, till the morning then awake me, morning of eternal rest. Tarry with me, blessed Savior, leave me not till morning light, for I'm lonely here without Thee. Tarry with me through the night.
I mentioned a moment ago the life, the land, the country, and the culture in which Paul lived his life. And in the midst of all of that chaos and crime and corruption, Paul could still say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice in Philippians 4 and verse 4. Paul could still say, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose in Romans 8 and verse 28. Paul could still be an apostle, a saint, a Christian, a friend of joy. And we all can do the same regardless, because as we have just sung, the Lord's with us. And he'll tarry with us and give us all we need if we'll give our all to him. If you're here this evening and outside of Christ, don't leave this assembly in that condition. If you've estranged yourself as a Christian from him, come back. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.